Hello everyone, and welcome to Student Housing Unlocked, Multi-Housing News' quarterly podcast series that delves into investments, strategies, operations, and different approaches in the student housing sector. I'm Olivia Bunescu, Associate Editor, and for our second episode of this series, I'll be discussing with Ryan Lang, Newmark's Vice Chairman and Head of the Student Housing Division. With almost $26 billion in deals closed in the sector, Lang has been a part of major transactions in well-performing student markets, representing clients such as Graystar, Harrison Street, and Blue Vista Capital Management. Thank you very much for accepting the invitation to Student Housing Unlocked. On this episode, we'll talk about how the student housing sector performed in 2023 and the outlook for this year. And I wanted to know what trends shaped the student housing industry in 2023, and if you could tell us more about how you view the sector today.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Olivia. So student housing, from an operational perspective, we have never seen perform better. And so while we weren't immune from capital markets dislocation over the past 24 months, from an operational perspective, things have never looked better. And so 2023 was really a year of the best effective rent growth on record ever, releasing velocity, which is just the manner of which and the velocity of which leasing occurs on the student housing side, which tends to occur month and or year in advance of the next academic year. And overall rent and how it performed. And so overall, if you look at 2023 compared to 2022, you saw effective rent growth north of 10% across the country. And you saw pre-leasing velocity lease up at its fastest clip ever. So it was an interesting dynamic, not only where you had rent growth at its highest level ever, but you had pre-leasing velocity also lease up at its quickest level ever, obviously implying that there was likely some rent left on the table in terms of where rents actually could have been realized for the 2023 academic year. And as you look forward into 2024, interestingly, 2024 appears to be outpacing the record pace of 2023. So the 2024-2025 academic year, while we're still in lease up as we sit, leasing velocity is now ahead of where we were at the same time last year for 2023 academic year. And pre-leasing rents, again, have eclipsed the double-digit mark where it's averaging over 10% if you look across the country at all major markets throughout the U.S., including private Ivy Leagues and major public state institutions. So overall, the year and the past 18 months have really been highlighted by operational outperformance relative to other asset classes. And we see that trend line continuing here over the next 12 to 24 months as well.
When I actually asked other experts in the sector, they even called student housing to be recession-proof as one of the best performing asset types in the market. And I was wondering, what factors do you think are most influencing the demand in the student housing sector and makes it perform so good compared to other asset types?
Yeah, you have a confluence of factors. So it's built a reputation in the student housing industry to be a recession resilient asset class, mainly because if you look back to every recession dating back to the 1950s, there's a direct correlation to where jobs become harder to come by, enrollment tends to go up. And it's a pretty simple correlation in that kids tend to stay in school longer, go back to graduate school, and generally have a harder time finding a job. And so you will see enrollment growth typically go up in any sort of downturn. And so it's been a downturn, while not positive overall from a macroeconomic standpoint, have certainly been positive in some regard for operations on the student housing side. On top of that, when you look at enrollment across the board, Gen Z is the biggest generation ever. And Gen Z, if you look at it across major public state schools, enrollment's up dramatically. Applications are up by 20, 40, 50%, depending on the university and depending on the state. And so applications, enrollment are up dramatically, particularly when you look at specific Power Five conferences, which just means the major public state schools with major athletic programs. Mm-hmm. That also goes along with private schools as well. So some of the more renowned academic institutions also have seen applications go up in a significant way, coupled with enrollment growth that has been rather significant as well. So you couple all of this together with enrollment growth being significant, rents that have gone extremely high on the multifamily conventional side that have made purpose-built student housing closer into campus look very affordable on a relative basis. All of that has kind of made this dynamic where student housing has really outperformed supply demand fundamentals in a very tight place, and then enrollment figures continue to increase with the biggest generation ever here.
Thank you very much. What about challenges? What would you say are the main challenges that the sector faced or is facing? And how are industry players adapting to those challenges and overcoming them?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest challenge has really been the capital markets dislocation over the past 24 months. So again, we haven't been immune from that. Operations have been great, but it's been very tough to transact. And many of the major equity providers in the space are some of the biggest institutions in the world now. So it's gotten out of just being a really niche asset class when I first started doing it 10 plus years ago, to really a more institutionalized asset class with some of the biggest equity providers in the world, alongside, major private equity shops. And so, while student continues to be kind of a shining light relative to other asset classes, it's still been challenged in terms of credit availability, liquidity needs, and everything else in between related to capital markets dislocation. And again, while that still is challenged as we sit here today, there's certainly reason to be more optimistic heading into the first quarter and into the second quarter of 2024 based upon pipeline, based upon operations from a student housing perspective, and based upon the fact that a lot of newer equity entrants that have been looking for ways to get into the space finally see a way to do so, with many major capital providers kind of sitting idle and/or being super selective, therefore providing an opportunity for newer equity groups to get into the space, which I think you'll see that in spades here over the next 6 to 12 months.
I actually had a question about the current economic environment, and more specifically, how do you believe the sector will perform in terms of loan recapitalization, securing financing, and closing new deals going forward? Because I noticed that that was kind of a bit of an issue when it came to closing new deals or refinancing certain properties. So how do you foresee the sector to perform in terms of that?
Yeah, so debt still remains tight right now. There are certainly less lenders in the space than there were two plus years ago. But with that said, because operations continue to hum along very nicely here in the 2024 academic year, we expect and we have seen with the pipeline that we have going forward right now that lending availability is still out there and equity is still readily available, particularly on the opportunistic side and out of opportunistic buckets of capital, as opposed to more of a core focus. And so while there's a decent bit, I'd say, of loan maturities this year, most of those deals are performing so exceptionally well. There'll be opportunities for cash out refis, and there'll be opportunities for opportunistic type exits, however crazy that sounds in the current environment, but there will be opportunities for both of those as we tend to go forward here over the next 6 to 12 months. And from a lending perspective and lending lens, Fannie Mae continues to be active. Agencies continue to be active in our space. We have life companies that have offered up some fairly creative options. We're in process of moving forward and closing several life co options on the debt side as we sit here today. And then, debt funds, again, while less active, are still out there. And banks, while selective, are certainly high on student housing generally. And depending on the geographic region, the university, and the sponsor, they're out there as well. So there's still quite a few lenders that are available in the space looking to do deals in the space. And again, relative to other asset classes, there's much more credit availability than some of the main food groups.
Thank you very much. I'd like to talk about the transactions you closed in the past year, and I was wondering if you could share some insights into sales volume for 2023 compared to previous years, and if there are any notable shifts that you've noticed in the sector.
Yeah, so starting with sales volume, so 2022 was the highest record sales volume on for student housing ever. It was north of 20 billion transacted. That was a significant increase over the prior 10-year average. And if you look at 2023 compared to 2022, the final numbers have not yet come out. They'll usually come out kind of midway through Q1 of 2024 for all of 2023. But the preliminary numbers suggest that volume is going to be down by, roughly 70%, if not a little bit more. And so Volume's down dramatically, and it's down dramatically for the reasons just suggested on the capital market side, where equity's being incredibly selective. There's a pronounced flight to quality to, you know, major Power Five universities, and a heightened focus on cost basis as well. But overall, from a capital markets perspective, down significantly in 23 compared to 2022. We expect an uptick in 2024 over 2023. While guessing at this point, because it's still very, very early, based upon our pipeline, we'd say that we'll be up by roughly 70 to 100% this year. We've closed out a couple of significant transactions already. We closed $250 million portfolio just in the past couple of weeks. We have another $2 billion worth of deals that are in process that will close out likely within the next 6 weeks. And we have a couple of larger recapitalizations that are over $1 billion. That will transact as well. And most of these deals are at kind of major Power Five universities across the country, some at some more select private universities that have a great academic reputation. But overall, transaction volume appears to be robust for the next couple of quarters. And we expect that transaction volume will be up dramatically when compared to 2023, but still down off of the high mark of 2022.
Thank you. Regarding transactions, could you please tell me a bit more about the biggest deals that you've closed in the past years and some characteristics of those deals? For example, the size of the property in terms of units or some amenities or the market they were located in, especially what made those properties stand out and what made investors be interested in those properties?
Yeah, sure. So some of the more recent deals that we're closing now, we're closing a $200 million single asset deal that is at a major public state school in Florida, which will be one of the biggest single asset transactions in for student housing over the past really 10 years. And so a major tier one institution with great dynamics related to enrollment projections going forward, solid supply demand fundamentals, and a big sports program. And that tends to be what most investors are really focused on. Not only what does enrollment look like today as it sits, what has enrollment done over the past 5 years? Is there a positive growth trajectory that you can point to over the past 5 to 10 years? And then generally speaking, with bigger public state institutions, there is a strategic plan, so to speak, that's put out by the university and what they're intending to do for enrollment going forward. And so both of those are really looked at hard. And then the sports program plays a big effect because the sports program tends to have a good basis in drawing new enrollment base. And so that's been a big factor for most. And so it's a combination of enrollment, sports programs, and then obviously how strong the academics of the institution are. And really the lower the acceptance rates is typically better, just because you can generally look at that and say that you can more than likely turn on the spigot, so to speak, from an enrollment perspective, based upon a lower acceptance rate and likely be able to push that enrollment over the short and long term if need be. As it relates to some of the bigger transactions we've done as of late, I referenced that $250 million transaction that we just closed out over the last couple of weeks. We just closed a $200 million recap at all major Power Five universities throughout Florida and Texas. That was done over the past 2 months. We closed a $115 million covered land play over at USC in LA. That was, I think, the biggest land transaction or covered land transaction in student housing history. And then we've closed some kind of easy straight down the fairway, $50 million, $60 million deals. We closed a $52 million deal in Tallahassee. That was about a core plus type opportunity, roughly 5 to 7 years old with a little bit of light value upside. And then we also closed just in the past couple of weeks, a deal at the University of South Florida that was also of significant size, over $75 million. And again, same idea. There's great enrollment projections there. Supply demand fundamentals look great. And there was some nice value upside to that opportunity as well, where rents were significantly below market. There was upside relative to some of the newer construction, and there's not a lot of new supply going into the market. So all those factors play into it.
Okay, thank you. I know that you have a portfolio of clients and Newmark essentially represents clients from multiple markets. And I was wondering if there are any specific markets that are more active than others for in terms of student housing development and also investment. If you've noticed that some markets are like more active or investors are more interested in those markets?
Yeah, I'd say the areas of most interest right now on the student side remain at the major public Power Five universities. And if you layer that even further, it tends to be focused more on the Southeast and Southwest as opposed to the Midwest in terms of true institutional interest. So while there's some bigger Power Five schools in the Midwest, the demographics from a geographical perspective just haven't quite been as good, just when you look at things outside of the university mold. And so I'd say that the primary focus has really been on Power Five schools throughout the Southeast and Southwest, and then some of these, again, private Ivy Leagues and really highly well sought after academic institutions are also of significant interest to some of the bigger equity providers out there right now. So we've seen more and more of that. We've seen a bigger flight to quality as it relates to the actual university itself and the academics and sports programs at those universities. We think that trend line continues here over the next 12 to 24 months as well.
And speaking of the new year, or what advice would you have for investors looking to enter or expand their presence in the student housing market based on the current fundamentals you are noticing in the sector?
Yeah, I mean, the big one will be make sure you team with the right operator, especially if it's your first time getting into the space. There's some really high quality sponsors in the space that have been doing a long time. They understand the differences between student and multi. It is different. It's a different space. I mean, to give you an example, instead of turning on, turning units or turning beds on an ongoing basis or a weekly or monthly basis, like you see in multifamily conventional, you're turning the majority of your building on the student housing side within a few week period, in between students moving out after summer and students moving in the early fall. And so there's some significant differences in how operations move on the student housing side. And so starting with point number one, just getting to the right operator, getting with a sponsor that has a deep understanding of the space, has a historical track record and understands the space. And then as you look at investment opportunities, really digging into the things that matter, focusing on acceptance rate, focusing on supply demand fundamentals, focusing on the university and how they're looking at enrollment, not only from a historical perspective, but going forward as well. And so getting focused on a few of the basics alongside getting the right sponsor in tow in terms of operations are really the couple of key factors to get kicked off.
Thank you. And do you believe there are any regulatory or policy changes on the horizon that might disturb or influence the sector going forward, specifically for this year?
No, nothing that I think would be significant detriment to the industry. If anything, there's obviously been a lot of talk about loan forgiveness, student loan forgiveness, and some of that's already happened, and there's still some talks of that on the table. If anything, that probably progresses and helps universities and schools and helps the industry as a whole. But nothing from a regulatory perspective that we would see as detrimental to the space over the next 12 months or in the short-term horizon now.
And moving on to our last question for this talk, looking ahead to 2024, what are your expectations for the sector and the market? Will the student housing sector have a good year ahead, or do you expect some turbulence down the road?
We see 2024 shaping up to be the best year on record for student housing. We think rent growth, again, will break records. It seems pre-leasing velocity from an average perspective across the country will be leasing at the fastest clip ever on record and outpacing 2023. And we think transactions will pick up at a pretty significant clip over the next 6 to 12 months as well. And so the outlook continues to be very, very bright on the student housing side. And that's not just optimism, that's just factual data specific to operations and how things are moving along. And I think if we see the credit market open up a little bit, and if we see some of the core open-ended vehicles that have been so active in the past 5 to 10 years start to see an influx of new capital, new equity to deploy into the sector, that things will really progress in a nice way here in 2024. And we see that as likely. There's a record amount of dry powder on the sidelines right now. Dry powder's up over 10% over the past 12 months, and allocations for alternatives and student housing specifically have been upped over the past couple of years in a way that's going to continue pushing demand on the transaction side for student housing. So we're very optimistic about where the next 6 to 12 months heads. Our pipeline's extremely full right now with $2 to $3 billion plus in new deal flow coming out in Q1. And so again, we would expect transaction volume to be up significantly. Hopefully capital markets cooperate a little bit here over the next 6 to 12 months. And then if nothing else, a lot of the groups that have been operating really well in the student housing space are going to continue operating really well in the student housing space over the next 12 months based upon what we see.
Thank you very much. It's great to hear that the sector will still perform good following the next year and that the outlook is very positive. And thank you very much for accepting our invitation to the podcast. It's been great having you.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Olivia. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for listening to Student Housing Unlocked. Make sure to tune in for the next episode of our series coming in April. For more news, trend stories, and podcast episodes, visit multihousingnews.com. More so, don't hesitate to join MHN's Executive Council. Every month, we discuss recent trends and topics with leading experts in the field, and your input could be very helpful. To join, please send an email to jessica.fiur@cbe-mhn.com. Looking forward to seeing you on our next episode.